There you go. That is beautiful music from Judith Owen. The song is called I've Never Been to Texas on KX93.5. We are Laguna's only FM. There's 12 tracks on the new record called Ebb and Flow. It is available right now. I talked to your people just before you hit the road to New York. I imagine those shows went well.
It was incredible. I think, you know, the hard thing for people like me who are wired wrongly and opposite to everyone else is that being off the bus, being off tour, is the hardest imaginable thing. You know, being a landlubber, it just doesn't suit me. I live to be on a bus with people like my fabulous friend sitting by me here, Mr. Leland Sklar.
Right. Elise Sklar is here in studio as well. You're no stranger to the road, you know?
Oh, no. I've been on the road every year since 1969.
No, and when you're not in the studio, I guess you're on the road, right?
On the road, yeah. I always look at this as a moving target. It's harder to hit, so you just keep moving.
Sure, sure. To be able to make a music your living and to be able to see the country and play in different cities, what a blessing that is, you know?
It's the greatest gift imaginable.
Yeah.
And never take it for granted.
No, it's true.
And to make it with somebody like Judith is... That's the frosting on the cake. It's the most special thing.
Well, let's talk about how you guys linked up. Judith, you've been putting out albums for several years now. The mm-hmm. Ebb and Flow record is something like your eighth studio record. Is that correct?
I think it's ninth or tenth, something ridiculous like that. Because I spent, as you can probably tell by this ridiculous accent, that I do actually go back and forth between Britain and here, and I live in America and Britain. So I have my life is between two places. But I'd been living in, a couple of years ago, I'd been already living in London, back in London for a good year. My father was desperately ill. He passed away finally. It was the best and the worst of times. I ended up finding that I myself in my own production, West End production, a show that I did that went to the West End with another woman. And so it was amazing, a series of events. And yet at the same time, I was going through this nightmare with my dad, who I just so loved so very much, and who was a huge inspiration on me. He was an opera singer, very, you know, Welsh upbringing. He was the reason really that I do music. Mm-hmm. And I realized after that I had to do something really special and life-affirming and something that maybe I'd dreamt of and in my life, or it was a dream of mine that I'd been putting off. And really what I decided to do was to go back to a time when I was happy and in family happiness. I remember some of my fondest memories of being a kid in the back seat of the car singing along to James Taylor and Carole King. And the first time I heard these amazing records, these Laurel Canyon records, as it was, you know, the 1970s troubadour music of America, and heard Leland and Russ and all these amazing players on these records. And so rather than emulating that sound, which I've done most of my career because that's had such an incredible effect upon me, a time where you could have beautiful hooky songs and gorgeous melodies, but you had this emotionally intelligent lyric content. This is something really inspiring
to me.
Something
that you don't really find anymore.
No, you don't.
With these artists.
You do not. And this is a huge throwback. This record, Ebb and Flow, is a real love letter to that time. So I went to the source and I'd met Leland because he'd worked with my husband, the fabulous radio guy himself, Harry Shearer.
Sure.
Yeah, and he'd worked on his comedy records. And so Leland and I then got together musically and realized that we had this unbelievable chemistry together. And so Leland was in, and then I reached out to Russ Kunkel and Waddy Wachtel, and they both said yes. Went into Sunset.
Unbelievable. You guys are all over the new Judith Owen record.
Yes, they are the band. And we went into Sunset Sound, which is a legendary 70s. You know, I did it old school, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Went into Sunset Sound, you know, on Sunset, and cut all these tracks live, what you just heard there. It was all live. It's all just one performance straight through. Me at the piano, the guys looking at me around, you know, close. These were all straight through, done, easy.
Right.
And it was the most hand-in-glove experience that I have ever had in the studio because, you know, I was hoping that would be the result because these were the guys that, you know, This is the music. This is the kind of music they cut their teeth on. I figured that this would be the way.
We did it the way we used to do those records. I mean, Judith sat at the piano and we gathered around her and she would play us the song. We didn't have any preconceptions of what the material was or anything. So we sat down and wrote out our little, sketched out our charts. And within a take or two, once we started playing it, we nailed everything. I mean, her songs.
Just like that, really?
Yeah, it was like we did in the old days. I mean, it really felt, to be in a studio that we spent so much time in back in the 70s and 80s and 90s.
Yeah, who are some of the artists you may have recorded with in the past in that particular studio?
Oh, God, we did all of the Chris Christopherson, Rita Coolidge records there, did Corey Wells from Three Dog Night. I mean, probably did 500 albums in that studio.
All on the same board, you figure? Or they've revamped the place?
In the same complex, because there's three main rooms there, and I've worked in all those rooms. Mm-hmm. Greg Adams, we did his solo thing from Trumpet Player with Tower Power.
Oh, wow.
So all kinds of things. The diversity of music was really deep.
Right.
But Judith, we went in there, and it really, suddenly we were like time travelers, just jumping back to that early James and Joni and Jackson Brown vibe that we had.
I had read that the album was more or less inspired by the 70s troubadour thing, and also, you know, some of the themes you've been writing about as just life experiences.
Yeah, because I'm not copying these people. I don't want to be just churning out like stuff that you think, ooh, is that, you know, that's not what it was for me. This is how I've always written. These are the kind of songs that I write. But I was very, you know, I believe in looking to what's gone before. I don't understand how people don't have knowledge of what's gone before. As a lover of classical music, as Leland is, it's just, you wouldn't dream of doing anything if you're in the classical world without knowing what the foundations are of the job that you're doing, of the life that you lead. And to me, you look back at all the jazz greats, you look back at all these, the classic music, these people, the Great American Songbook, you take from all of these things, because these are our teachers. And so growing up and hearing this had an incredible effect upon me, and it had an effect upon me emotionally, as I said, the lyrical content of it, because I write about life in all its awfulness and beautiful reality. You know, to me, it's both things. It's awful and wonderful. It's really terribly tough, and then magical. And the reason why it's called Ebb and Flow is because I've spent a great deal of my life feeling like I was absolutely emptied of everything, and I didn't have the will or ability to go on, and yet within a second or a day either I would be filled up again and realize that the greatest thing in the world was life and to laugh and to be alive. And then that, and I think all of us are struggling on one level or another. We are all struggling, and we're all trying to figure out what we're doing. Why does it seem so straightforward for other people when it's not, you know?
Yeah.
And why haven't we been invited to the party? Well, the truth is there is no party. We're all struggling and just pretending that we're doing okay.
Right.
And that's the truth of it. Nobody is.
Absolutely. How about this? Again, Judith Owen and Lee Sklar here in our studio. Let's hear another track off the record. I do want to talk about the tour and so many other things as well. And then you guys agreed to perform live for us, which is amazing.
Can't wait.
This is going to be track one off Ebb and Flow. It is called, and I have the record in my little hand right now, Train Out of Hollywood. Again, Judith Owen live in studio on KX93.5.
Searching for high. eyes that reach into their very vein. Oh, Kelly, you're running out of time. Kelly, you're going down in style. Swallow your pride and get on a train out of Hollywood.
There you go. You know, we realize songwriting is very personal, and we appreciate Judith Owen sharing her songs with us. That's track one off the new record, Train Out of Hollywood, on KX93.5. We are listener-supported radio. I was giving you guys the lowdown on the radio station off the air, and it seems like you guys are down for the cause, right?
Absolutely. Oh, totally.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, utterly. How could we not be?
Yeah.
You know, I'm as I said, I'm married to a radio guy who believes in absolutely giving for free to the community, because, you know, you should
sure.
be there.
Sure.
You should be there for people. I'm not saying you should be giving it for free, my love. I'm just saying. I'm just saying that, you know, I come from a culture, British and all that. We rely so heavily upon radio as spoken word. So much so. It is such a part of the culture in Britain. And so I always find it really sad when I hear of all these, you know, incredible radio stations just being gobbled up by some gigantic
sure.
monopoly, you know.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking. It's important.
I think people need something alternative. They're looking for something different,
yeah.
whether it's print or
yeah.
TV or radio, and we're trying to offer that. We feel like if a bunch of low-power FMs popped up around the country, that would just be amazing as far as, you know, community radio. We feel like it's where it's at.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And it's
agree.
Very rare that we get to do clothing optional radio like this.
It's
too.
True.
The
I can't.
Fact that
well,
we're all
it
naked
is Laguna
yeah.
Beach.
The fact that, yeah, that we are all naked.
It's very
yeah.
special.
It
yeah.
is, isn't it?
I'm feeling a certain
warmth. I haven't even broken a sweat.
No.
Yeah.
That's how we are on the left coast sometimes.
Yeah.
Actually, I did my research on Laguna Beach coming into this thing, and back in the 60s and stuff, they were all doing LSD in these hills. They called themselves the Brotherhood of Eternal Love. They still support the arts to this day. There's,
oh, yeah.
you know, art galleries on every corner and everything.
Well, the passion yeah. of the masters is so
there's
come
that.
On. You,
yeah.
you had to be on LSD to do that. I've seen the Passion of the Masters, by the way.
Have you?
I'm one of those rare people who actually got a ticket some years ago.
Which is really
I
hard to do.
Loved it.
Yeah.
I swear, I was. Harry and I went. It was. He told me all about it. I could not believe what I was seeing. It was magical.
Right.
Really, I love it.
I've never been, and I should. I've been working here for like a year and a half. You know, it's about time to check out the Pageant of the Masters.
But it's not easy to get tickets, let me tell you.
Right.
I was real, it was a real struggle. I'm sure at this point you know enough people that you can get a ticket, but I loved it.
That's Judith Owen, Lee Sklar in studio as well. Also, Russ Kunkel on drums, Wadi mm-hmm. Wachtel is all over your record.
Yeah.
What a blessing that is. But the tour just wrapped up.
And I'm so glad that you played that, because that actually was, it's the first in the record, but it was the first thing we recorded.
Uh-huh.
That's the first song that we recorded, and that's how I knew it was going to be great. And actually, I was on the road on the tour with Leland. It was Leland and me, and for going all the way across America, and then we finally finished up in LA last Friday with the guys
at the Mint, and that was
yeah.
a free show.
Yeah. Yeah, they were all free shows. These were all promotional shows, as far as I was concerned. It's sort of like my feeling is I go out. If you go out there, and this will never happen again. It was an idea of mine that. I want to go out there. I want to build the audience. I want to get people hearing about this. I want to give them a great evening. And I want them to be fans and become fans. And got, you know, it was amazing how many CDs we sold. It was amazing how many new fans I got. It was a remarkable thing, and it was a really great undertaking doing that in all these beautiful listening rooms. I have a real love of intimate settings. I don't think you hear anything quite like you do until you're in a small room. I remember the first time I saw Joni Mitchell with Larry Klein in, of all places, Genghis Cohen, doing the similar thing. Having a listening experience. And I really felt like I'd, you know, died and gone to heaven.
There's some venues in L.A. that are, people are really attentive to the music. People keep talking about Hotel Cafe and like places like Room 5 and stuff like that, you know?
It's very cool. I mean, it was great. One of the nicest things, we played up in San Francisco, and I've stayed in very close touch with Linda Ronstadt, and she came to the show, and she just is bubbling about Judith. She just keeps saying, this is one of the best singers I've heard. I'm just going crazy. She's like a super fan now. Yeah. And it's really great when people who you respect so much go, this is something really unique.
Yeah, that's great.
It was a bit of a love fest. And how could it not be amazing fun going out on the road with Leland Sklar? Can I just say that? Oh, can I call you Lily? After all this time, am I allowed?
You can call me Yammy.
we have to talk about that, too.
Oh, dear.
I'm calling him Lee, and I just met him about an hour ago.
I know, but you guys, you hit it off. You know what I mean? I like to keep a certain distance. I don't, actually. That's not true. I mean, I've spent now a month on the bus with this guy. Yeah. What can I say? I know everything about him.
You're right. Do you find that, obviously, there are differences between being a songwriter and band leader.
Yeah.
Now, do you feel like this tour has given you more or less, has it been a learning thing?
Well,
as far as band leader, because that's a skill all in itself.
No, I've always been a band leader.
Yeah,
I've always been a. I know what I want. I know what it should sound like. I know what I want. I mean, the thing is, with if you don't know what you want, you're in trouble. When you're playing with guys as brilliant as these guys, then what they want to do, what the most important thing is to basically make the song better, make the experience better, make it work, bring everything out of it they possibly can without treading all over the place. But I've always been bossy. Let's just say the word, shall we? I've just always been a bit of a bossy cow. And I do love throwing my weight around. It's part of my charm. Okay, let's just get this right. Let's just get this off my chest right now, can we, Lee?
That's not necessarily a British thing, though, is it? No, it's just who you are.
You mean, is it because of Margaret Thatcher and all that? Is
no,
it just who's
I don't know.
No, you don't even know who Margaret Thatcher is. Is it a British thing? No, I think it's a. I think it's a. It's a writer, musician who knows what they want.
That's right.
That's what I think it is, and I think that that because I mean Lee describes it very well. Because I've been very used to playing by myself. Because I'm a solo performer. Because I'm a writer. Because I hear all this stuff in my head already. I hear how it sounds with the band.
Yes.
I'm imagining it. I'm also playing parts that are for other people. My bass hand is very much the bass player playing. I'm playing a rhythm that takes over everything. So there's already an inbuilt. A miniature band here in this piano.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of arranging as I go. That's what it feels like.
Sure.
It just feels, you know, that that's the point. I am not shy. But let's just say that, Mookie.
Yeah.
I am not shy of saying what I want.
Oh, by the way, we are listener supported, KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. Judith Owen is here with Lee Sklar talking about the new record, Ebb and Flow. We have to talk about the tour mascot, and I guess we'll do that on a lighter note in just a little bit. But touching on
that was a light note. What you just said was a light note. Right. Surely to goodness, I think you were trying to infer that perhaps
her, that's a light.
That's
note.
A light note. I think Mookie was trying to find out whether I was actually a real, like, you know, ball buster.
Itch.
Is that what he was after?
No.
Okay. All right.
I think to be able to create a concept in your head and actually execute it, especially when there's a lot of other musicians and a lot of other people in the mix, that's got to be incredibly fulfilling to be able to do that.
Well, also the process. The title of the album to me. When she sent me a copy of the artwork, I went, this is so perfect, because really the whole process of making it was like ebb and flow. Like, she knew exactly what she wanted, but it was flexible enough to accommodate everybody else. But if something came up that wasn't quite what she wanted to hear, she had no problem suggesting it. And we, as seasoned guys, had no problem accepting that. And so there was this ebb and flow that we went through to make this the best it could be. I always tell people all my ideas are etched in mud. So, you know, you carve it in, but it can fill back in, and let's start again. I'm not
right.
Completely.
But that's the point. Not everybody, it's a season, yes, you're seasoned players, but it's a point of, not everybody is able to actually take that kind of clear instruction as to what you want. The best guys, the best players, the best musicians can.
Right.
And should. And they can, because that is your... You know, you are looking, I think, also to if you've got a very defined ideas, then you're looking to that person. I think if you ask something of somebody, and I've had this happen many times to me, and it's a real shame it happens, but hey, well, you ask for something, and the answer is kind of like, you know, that's the sign of, like, you're not playing with the right people.
Yeah.
That's simple
sure,
as that.
Absolutely.
That's as simple as that.
Yeah. Can we get a couple of songs out of you?
You certainly can.
That would be amazing.
I'm kind of tired now. I know. I was clean shaven when we started this.
The favorite line. Well, can I just say that when we'd finished recording this record, I went back to Britain to do a summer show. And the whole theme of it was summer, summer, summer. And in summer, we sort of wheel out Mungo Jerry for the 2 days of summer. And we play the bloody in the summertime, and everybody gets burnt and goes red. And then
everybody seems to like that one, though.
Yeah, everybody likes it. It's wheeled out every single year. And I thought, I really want to do that because I love doing covers. I'm known for my covers, whether it be Smoke on the Water or Black Hole Sun. I like taking these big testosterone songs and making them sort of female and sexy. And so I thought, I'm going to take that. And I had illusions of grandeur because I was still in the Laurel Canyon mood. And I thought, what would Joni do? Because it's become my mantra, you see. Saint Joni of Mitchell.
That's great.
And basically what Joni would do, of course, is that she would have a smoke, shag someone, and then have a smoke.
Of
but
course.
I thought, no, thank you. Then I thought, Joni, if you're listening, forgive me. You are my goddess. But I thought, no, what she would really do in a situation like this is she would turn it around from being about boys lusting after girls on the beach. It would be about, you know, perhaps a cougar. Let's name it. Perhaps a mature woman staring lustily after some gorgeous young things on the beach. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Isn't just because we're all naked in the studio.
Well, it doesn't hurt.
No. Okay, okay, so I imagine you're going to do the Mungo Jerry song next.
I'm going to do my version of In the Summertime.
Okay, on KX93.5 whenever you guys are ready.
Summertime, when the weather is high, you can stretch right up, you can almost touch the sky. When the weather is right, you've got women on your mind. Have a drink, have a drive, and go out and see what you can find. If her daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If her daddy's poor, then just do what you feel. Speed along the lane, darling, do a turn on 25. When the sun goes down, you can make it in a lay-by. Cause you're not bad, you're not dirty, darling, you're not a mean. You just love everybody, and you do exactly what you feel. And you go fishing, you go flying, sometimes you go swimming in the sea. You say that life's for living, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's your philosophy. La 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 la. When the winter's here, darling, you feel just fine. Bring a bottle where your bright clothes go. Soon it will be summer time. Cause you're not bad, you're not dirty, darling, you're not mean. You just love everything. everybody, and you do exactly what you feel. And you go fishing, you go flying, sometimes you go swimming by the sea. You say that life's for living, life's for living, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's your philosophy. In the summertime, when the weather is high, you can stretch right up, almost touch the sky. When the weather is right, you've got women on your mind. Have a drink, have a drive, and go out and see what you can find. Have a drink, have a drive, and go out and see what you can find. Have a drink, have a drive, and go out and see what you can find. Yeah, yeah. La 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 la, come along with me. La 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 la, come along with me. Oh la la la, come along with me. La 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 la, come along with me. Oh 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 oh. Oh.
There you go. That happened right in front of my face here in the studio. Mm-hmm. That's Judith Owen and Lee Sklar live in our Pearl Street studios on KX93.5 doing their best rendition of the song In the Summertime. Brilliantly done. And thank you so much for doing that, everybody.
Absolute pleasure.
Pleasure.
So what is Twinkie? By the way, judithowen.net is your website.
Judithowen.net. Yeah,
all the records and everything like that. What is Twinkie Records?
Twinkie Records, we were looking for a name for our label, you know, to put it, because it's like my label, and then it's distributed by like Rare and Universal and various people throughout the world. But in Britain, we have this thing called pantomime, you know?
Yeah.
And men dress up as women and women dress up as boys, and large geese with large golden eggs wander around the place. And it's very camp and fabulous and big. And there's always something where there's some baddie going behind the goodie, behind the prince or the woman dressed up as a boy. And the audience full of children and people like me go, it's behind you.
Right.
And there's always a character called Widow Twankey, which is a man dressed as a woman who's pretending to be a widow. Is this complicated, people of Laguna? And anyway, so Twankey Records means Widow Twankey, because I refer to myself as being Widow Twankey because my husband works. He's a workaholic. I never see him. So I am Widow Twankey, and the line is, we're behind you. Uh-huh. That is the line.
Okay.
That is what this record is about. That is what this label is about. That is what the theme is. That's our saying. That's what we stand by. We're behind you. Thank you.
If you had the opportunity to take another artist under your wing, would you help facilitate them under the Twankey Records name?
Actually, yes. It's not just for Harry and if Harry do his comedy stuff and me. We're actually thinking very seriously after, you know, this is the first thing out on it, so this has been such a push, basically, and such a lot of gargantuan amount of work, but that is what we aim to do along the way. There's so many brilliant musicians, so many remarkable people. If I had my way, I would be signing this incredible woman who I'm a big fan of, Donia Oxford, mm-hmm. who Lee's also worked with a lot. Incredible stride, boogie woogie player, piano player, just an 18 wheeler. This woman. So it will happen. Once we've managed to get this little thing out into the world, then yeah, I'll be looking down that road.
That's great. Lee, you've been on the road the whole time, huh?
You betcha.
You showed me what's on your cell phone, and it's a bunch of pictures of people giving the middle finger, and you're shooting a lot of video on tour. What a tech-savvy guy.
You know, I mean, I was the last of all the guys to get a computer, and everybody just laughed at me, because I would just, everybody be talking high-tech with each other, and I'd go, well, I got a fax machine.
You know. You know?
I mean, that was it, but when I went on the road with Phil Collins in 2004, I think it was, or maybe a little before that, there was like 100 guys in the crew, and everybody had a Mac, and I was in a band, and we were needing to clear mixes and all that, so the guys said to me, get a laptop. Well, suddenly I'm around all these guys, so I picked everybody's brains, and by the end of the tour, people were going, how'd you do that, man? And it's like, yeah. I figure if you're going to do it right. And then during the course of this tour, we've created a few little vignettes that are amazing. Judith,
just shot one.
I just shot one outside. And the thing that's beautiful is we've been shooting all over with Judith having like interpretive hippie dancing on the street in the most unbelievable settings.
Yeah.
And it documents the area, plus this thing, like I just finished an album project and Judith came over the other day and hung out. And it was in front of the Hollywood Museum of Death.
I've heard about that.
Great shot. But the sad part is it used to be Mastering Labs, which was the greatest mastering room, Doug Sachs's master. And we did so many records there, and now it's the Museum of Death. I don't know if that's a Freudian slip or something.
But still, I got to go nuts in front of it. It was marvelous.
So we filmed all kinds of stuff on the tour, and it's really fun, regardless if anybody ever sees it, for us. It just documents a special moment in our lives, and we'll figure out something to do with it. Maybe we should put out like a little DVD of moments.
Dancing around the world.
Yeah, a little sizzle reel of the tour.
Dancing around the world.
You said you were going to shoot a music video soon, right?
Actually, there's one already out. I have lyric videos that are already out, but there's a beautiful video of I've Never Been to Texas, which is the first thing that you actually played, which, again, you can find on my website and on YouTube and all over the place on my channel. And then there's another one coming out, too, in the summertime, which is very Californian, of course, and
you
sexy and gorgeous.
Around in a Mustang.
I was driving around in a teal Mustang just to do this. But in fact, Lee's in the first video in I've Never Been to Texas. That's an absolute beauty. But and then we've got footage that we're putting together of the Mint Show, because that was really quite remarkable.
Nice.
And I'm going to put that up on.
Because everybody was on stage there.
Yeah,
right?
So I'm going to put that highlights of that definitely up on YouTube and have all and just let the fans enjoy and see. And it was the truth is, like I said when we started, it's like not being on the road, which is hard, because you are adrenalized, because you're doing the thing you love the most in life. You're doing the thing that makes you feel alive and fulfilled. And you're having fun with, if you're with people you love, you are the luckiest, you know.
Yeah.
It's like being on the best school trip ever, but now you're popular. That's how I see it.
Great.
Well, what a fun trip.
Yeah. You know? And that's why Yami came in, as we discussed Yami.
Yes, can we talk about that?
Yeah, I think I think
a lot of radio stations couldn't do what we're doing right now, and that's, you know, stop down the station and do a thing in studio with you know, you two. So that's
it's
why we're so fortunate to be able to do something like this.
I know. Yeah. So you'd have to be literally in the weather now and just everything else coming in and the plugs. Yami is a yam. And he's a tuber.
What?
He's a root vegetable, isn't he?
It's a root vegetable, like,
but he's more than that to us. He's our mascot.
And there's a bunch of pictures on your Facebook page and Twitter.
Yeah.
If people want to check it out.
Yeah, well, he's pornographic looking in his own way. He's a bit. There's a big car going past. He's a very phallic looking yam, to be fair. And when Lee first saw him in Shepherd's Bush Market, actual name, in London, near where I live in London. And we were in this West Indian Trinidadian food market. And Lee said, turn around slowly.
Uh-huh.
Like that. I turned around. And the most phallic looking yam I've yet to see in this life was right behind my head. And I thought, well, you can't not buy that, you see. So the yam was born, Yami was born. And we did, in fact, we've taken him everywhere. But no more. Yami's not looking so hot right now.
No, it's
obviously
probably time to retire it.
Yeah, we're gonna
more than retire.
We're gonna bury him in the garden because he's having a state funeral. He's having a state funeral, and the other character we really enjoyed doing. This is ridiculous for listeners. It sounds like we should be interred.
It's like junior high school.
It is.
I've told people over the years, if you really want to succeed in the music business, treat it like you're still in the eighth grade.
Yeah.
Then you'll be fine.
If you try to bring adulthood to it, it just becomes frustrating and ridiculous. If you're just a knucklehead like you were in the eighth grade, it all makes total sense.
It all makes total sense.
So continue with your
story. No, it's all right. Then we got this other fantastic character. Because Lee looks so, you know, amazing, and he does it. People who are listening on the radio, Leland Sklar has the most stunning beard of gorgeousness. And he just looks like something from Middle Earth, you see.
But such a personable guy.
Well, that's what they say.
Yeah.
When I'm but he. Personable.
Yeah. So we decided that it would be called Little Mirth instead, and that Lee started getting down on his knees and staring up at me as if I was like the Elvin queen or something. So that became a new thing as well. And his name, am I allowed to say rude names on the air?
No, you can't, because
no,
the
I won't
FCC
say that then.
Listening.
I won't say that.
That's not a rude
I won't
word,
say
though.
That.
That's not a swear word though.
No. Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
No, fair enough then.
Do you want to say it?
Yeah, let it rip.
We started taking these pictures. We did one in front of a cathedral where I got down, so it looks like I come up to her waist and she looks like Amazonian.
Yeah.
And we looked at it and said, he looks like Dildo Baggins.
Thank you.
There you go. Yeah, you could say that.
I'm all right then. Yeah. See, I'm so worried about this.
So this took on a life of
So Dildo itself. Baggins, Yammy, and whatever I'm called, who knows? But this has become, the dancing lunatic. Yeah, the dancing queen.
Uh-huh.
Those have become the three things that got us solidly through the tour. And he's you're right, it is like, it really is like the best school trip ever.
Maybe next time there will be a butternut squash on tour or something. I don't know. Who knows?
They're all lining up.
We're auditioning them right now. And with at least with butternut squash, you can make them into a soup at the end of it, you see.
You could probably make it into a percussive instrument.
Well, we could at the beginning with Yammy, but that went horribly south halfway through the tour.
You shouldn't have an instrument that's kind of shooting out green dust.
No.
Yammy's
No, that is not a percussive instrument.
State.
Yeah.
Judith Owen, yes. Lee Sklar here in studio on KX93.5. JudithOwen.net.
That's
and
right.
People could tweet at you. Right.
Hey, you can come at me tweeting and Facebooking and everything that you want. You can find this record and, you know, all the iTunes and the Amazons and the everything. But I would love you to come to judithowen.net and find me. That would be fantastic.
You just did a cover of an old Mungo Jerry song.
That's
you
correct.
Also cover James Taylor on your record.
I do.
Very cool.
Yes.
You're channeling the whole 70s troubadour
thing.
Well,
I figured that I had to do those two. I mean, I really did because again, back to me in the car, sitting in the back seat. And by the way, so many people have said, good grief, I had exactly the same experience as a kid in the back seat with my parents listening to James Taylor and Carole King as we're driving around. Because, you know, there's something very particular about music and driving. They go together. They are married. And some of our deepest memories are about being in cars listening to music.
Right.
It's in films. You see it all the time. You see it. You see driving in so many videos. There's a reason for it.
Right.
It's exciting. You're going on a journey. You're going somewhere. It's thrilling. You're seeing stuff. There's music. It's the soundtrack to your life. And so that was so important that I end up doing that. So that's why I ended up doing my own version of Hey Mister, That's Me up on the jukebox. And then the Brill Building, Carole King. And sadly, it's Jerry Goffin, Carole King, and Jerry Goffin just passed away, of course. Was it yesterday or the day before?
Oh, are
yesterday?
You serious?
Yeah, he just died. We
did a thing with Louise Goffin.
With Louise, she's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, he was
but
75 and died of natural causes, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, so I had to do that because it's something where you don't want to be just copying what they did or do exactly the same version. I tip them on their heads. I make them very, very different songs. I make them sound like my own, which in fact James was so brilliant at doing himself. He was a master at covering other people's songs and making them feel sound like they were his. But I think I needed to just acknowledge how important those songs in that time was to me and how much it influenced me.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on the record.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is wonderful stuff. And last question before we play another song and kind of wrap it up here. Any advice you would give to a struggling musician who kind of, you know, works a crappy day job right now, but who wants to make music their full-time gig?
Yes, keep going. Never be put off because we've all done crappy jobs and we've all struggled. And I guess the point is, if you're a lifer and music is... You live to work, as in you live to make music. If that's the most important thing in your life, don't let anybody put you off the idea of doing it. It's no more risky in this present landscape, in this world, than any other job that there is. I'm serious. I mean, there used to be a time where it was like, oh, really? Being a musician? Good luck with that.
Yeah.
It doesn't really mean that anymore when everything is so tough to do. If you get one go around in this world, if it is the love of your life, you better
go
be doing
for it,
it,
right?
Yeah.
You don't get a second shot. I meet so many people who hit middle age and go, "Oh God, what did I? My dream.
If only,
what if I? Why didn't?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? Do it. You've got to do it. This is one go around, as I said, do it.
That's great advice. On KX93.5. So what do you guys want to play next?
Well, now that you bring that up, we can either do... Do you want to do Under Your Door?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah? That's or do you want to do Hey Mister? Which would you prefer?
I think you should do an original, because your writing is so beautiful, and Hey Mister.
There you go, yeah.
Oh, isn't he great? Isn't he? And this is why is why I love him, you see.
A Judith Owen original on KX93.5. I guess this is the super stripped-down version.
This is the super stripped-down version, but... This is the version of Under Your Door, which, speaking about when you're working in a rubbish job that drives you crazy and the thing that you love you can't get to do, well, we're all struggling along in our own way. And I certainly have had years of the black dog and of depression looking over my shoulder for forever and a day, as all my family did. And I found myself in the situation where I'm now a healthier person. And able to say to other people in the same situation I used to be in that this too will pass, and if they can hold on, they will get through it. And I equate it to that strip of light you see underneath the door, that ray of light when there's a light on next door and you're sitting in the darkness, which I've spent a lot of time in my life doing. And you know, if you could reach the door, you'd be able to get through, and you'd be able to find people and life and hope. And so that's kind of the song that I'd like to leave on, because it is what I believe. Just a day I saw you, and your head was in your hands. Said you couldn't face another day. All of life's rejections, all those dreams turned into sand. What's the point, you asked me, so I took your hand and said that when it feels like the rain might fall forever, oh, and the wind might blow forever, don't let go, whatever you do, 'cause if you hold tight, you might just see the light under your door. So face the storm, my friend, and believe me when I tell you this too must end. I walk this rocky road, stumbled many times, wondered why I walk it every day. I've been so downhearted that I almost lost my mind. Took a friend to hold my hand, to help me understand that when it feels like the rain might fall forever, oh, and the wind might blow forever, don't let go, whatever you do, 'cause if you hold tight, you might just see the light under your door.
Wow, live music is always inspirational, and it happens often here at KX93.5. That's Lee Sklar and Judith Owen live on the radio. It's a very pleasure to meet you. That was quite the long segment that we just had on the radio.
Yeah, thank you so much for giving us that time, because it makes a world of difference, because it's like you really get to know the person, you really get to know the music and what's behind it. It's a real... Yeah. Pleasure to have been able to come here and do this with you.
I wanted to be worth your while, you know. We're gonna post this stuff on Facebook, on Twitter. So when you see my tweet, you got to give it a retweet.
I will.
Okay. We are listener supported. KX93.5.